Thank you, Ray.
Give him a big hand.
We hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, we've got a new member of the church. Have we got a photo of the new member of the church? No, not the baby hanging off the sound desk. I've got a picture of a new baby. Yeah. Baby Ruby Rose, come on. They've got a photo somewhere. Gonna do it. It's okay. It's well worth waiting for, wasn't it? Hey? Hope it's not gonna take 9 months. Hey, Ruby Rose. McDermott family, Tracy and Paul, and Eva, and Hikiawai, look at that. Isn't she beautiful? There you go. Congratulations, guys. It's amazing, eh? It's a way to build the church, eh? Just keep having babies. Hey, don't come down to the night market, guys. Make a big effort to get there on Thursday night. It's going to be awesome. And if you're not in a Connect group, please join a Connect group. The ones went off this week. Lots more people turned up. If you're not in one, this is the best place to get pastored. Join a Connect group. Most of them on Wednesday nights, so just put that time aside. Go to a Connect group. Eh? Amen? Yeah. Hampshire Street. If doing nothing next Wednesday all day, we're doing a working bee down at our Hampshire Street premises. Come down. From 9:30 in after 9:30, bring anything, painting stuff, gardening stuff. We're going to have a big clean up down there on Wednesday. Cool? Love to see you all there. We could do it in 5 minutes. But yeah, we're going to get that place looking smart. What else have we got? Oh, I noticed it. Going to try to hold the mic here today. Because I normally hold it there and I block off the sound, I've been told. It's taken me 5 years to realise that. But I'm there. I'm just going to speak this morning a little bit on hearing from God. God said this, God said that. That's the name of this sermon. And back in the good old days, we used to get these gift catalogues in the mail just before Christmas. And when I was a kid, I used to love them when they arrived, because there's a section in there that had new toys and stuff, you know, and I'd look through the catalogue when I was young and I'd circle things and I'd leave it lying around so my mum and dad would see what I wanted for Christmas. And 1967, I was 12 years old. Don't work anything out, please. And I marked this big power of swimming pool that came in the catalogue. It was this swimming pool. I thought, oh man, I love a swimming pool. So I marked it, I left it lying on the table. And we were really hoping for a swimming pool. And then Christmas came and no swimming pool. And I thought, oh, this is not going to happen, is it? And then my dad took me to Brighton. And then were the days when Brighton only had Saturday shopping. I went into, I think it was Placemakers or Fletcher's or something they called back then, and they had a whole lot of concrete block stuff, and there was a plan of a pool, and I thought, oh, wow. So I grabbed this plan of the swimming pool made out of concrete blocks, and I took it home to my dad. Well, I showed my dad, and I says, hey, Dad, how about building us one of these? And he says, if you dig it out, we can build one, he says, but not at the moment because I can't afford the blocks. That didn't work with me. People who know me. So next day, I decided to dig it out. So it's school holidays, Christmas hole, so I organised a few mates and my brother. So we rip up Mum's rotary clothesline in the middle of the backyard. We rip up the concrete paths. My mum said, Dad's not going to like this. And I said, you said we could. So we start digging this hole. So we dig all day. Dad Dad comes home and got a 10 metre by 4 metre hole in the backyard. Mum was right. He wasn't happy. The hole sat there for a few months, to be honest. Dad had promised to build this pool if we dug it out. And we did dig it out. And he did build the pool. But that night I only heard the promise. I was not listening to the conditions. The promise from my father was, you dig it out and I'll build you a pool. But the condition was not at the moment, because the money wasn't there to complete it. So I've got a couple of questions for you this morning. Are you hearing from your Heavenly Father? And are you listening? Because I heard, but I wasn't listening. And I want to speak a little bit about hearing from God. If you're a Christian, I believe you could be in one of these three camps. Three camps. You're listening and you're hearing. You're hearing and you're not listening. Or you're listening, but you're not hearing. Get it? If you're anything like me, you're hopping from one of these camps to another, from campsite to campsite. Maybe you're the one that's listening and you're hearing. If the first person you hear from when you wake up in the morning is God, and the last person you hear from when you go to bed at night is God, then you're causing me to sin because I'm envious. In fact, you should be up here teaching people how to hear from the voice of God, not me. You're few and far between in this world if that's you. But if you are in this camp, you need to be so careful because there are three voices going on in your mind. Yours, God's, and Satan's. And you need to know who's saying what. Sometimes I think I've got a God idea and it's a Paul idea. Sometimes I think I've got a God idea and it's an enemy idea chucking me off track. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. How do you do that? Go to God's word to test it. If it's not God's word, if you can't confirm it in God's word, then it's not from God. God's spirit is loving and kind and encouraging, not condemning and mean and angry. If you're listening and hearing, please make sure you know who you're listening to. Campsite number 2. You're hearing, but you're not listening. If you ask Sue, she would tell you, I'm an expert at this. Hearing, but not listening. Another word for that is selective hearing. I looked it up in this dictionary called the Urban Dictionary. I think it was written by a woman. It says, listen to this. This is what selective hearing is in this Urban Dictionary. It says, the ability that humans have, especially males. The ability that humans have, especially males, to hear selectively only what serves their interests, being conveniently deaf to what they don't like or can use. That's not me, is it? What it means is you're hearing but not listening. The prophet Jonah did just this. God instructed him to go and preach at Nineveh, a city full of hostility. But Jonah heads 2,000 miles in the other direction. Not fleeing from Nineveh, but fleeing from God, which is a waste of time trying to do that, isn't it? And a storm comes. And I'll tell you something, storms will come when you're hearing but not listening. Not to destroy you, not to break you, but to get your attention, take you off the wrong course and put you on the course that God has specially plotted for your life. Most of you know the story. Jonah gets thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, and in this belly for 3 days, he's contemplating his decision to selectively hear God's voice. He finally ends up in Nineveh and he says these few words. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And guess what? The whole city was saved. And I was reminded of this story that I had a couple of years ago at a men's breakfast. And I was behind the guest speaker lining up for the bacon and eggs. And this guy was dying of cancer. And he had cancer in his shoulder. And he was an amazing missionary. He's done lots of stuff in the Philippines. He's an awesome guy and I love him. And I heard God say, pray for him. But the bacon and eggs were beckoning me. And I didn't do it. And that weekend, I walked around stink all weekend. So I had the bacon and eggs. I didn't say anything to him. Went home. I knew what I'd done. All weekend, I was down and out. And I went to the night service, and he was preaching there. And it just got to me. I started crying. I went up to him and said, man, and I told him what I'd done. And I said, I heard from God, and I should have prayed for you then. I'm going to pray for you now. And we can't afford to have selective hearing with God. We can't afford to pick out all the good things and the good stuff and disregard the hard and the important stuff. He knows what's best for us. Please listen to him and do what he says. Campsite number three. If you're listening but not hearing, there's a lot of us camped here, isn't there? This would have to be the place where most Christians are. They're listening for God, but they're not hearing anything. He is speaking, but you're not hearing him. It's quiet in here. You going okay? But are you hearing? But are you hearing? Are you hearing? When we make a decision to follow Jesus, to put our faith in him and worship God, we are born again. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us and enables us to have this one-on-one relationship with God. And Ephesians 2:17 puts it like this. It says, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We're all created to have a relationship with God, the Father, and we can. Have a relationship with God, you need to speak to him, and that's called prayer. There's no weird formula for prayer. You can do sermons on it, but there's no weird formula. It's just like talking to a friend. You speak to him as if he's your best friend, and he is. But a lot of Christians seem to have a one-way conversation, a chat away to God, but they're waiting to hear from him back. God wants to speak to you. And all through the book you read, God said this and God said that. If God is speaking, then what's blocking us from hearing him? What's going on? It can be a number of things. First is, do you know what God's voice really sounds like? It's Micah screaming in the kindergarten, or whatever. Shani and Luke knows that's Micah. But do you know what God's voice sounds like? I've lost my place. See, God speaks to us through his word. The Bible, and it's called Logos. Logos? Yeah. But he also speaks to us by us hearing the voice of God. And it's called Rhema. To hear God's voice, Rhema, you need to know God's written word, Logos. You need to know it's God. Reading God's word daily helps us learn God's general truths for our lives. Helps us learn the promises he has for our lives. Helps us learn God's character. And what he's likely to say to us so that we know it's his voice we're hearing. But while reading God's word, God uses this time to speak specifically to you. We can use this time. He uses scripture to relate to your circumstances now, and that's Rhema. The scripture jumps out of the page at you, as they say, and they are the scriptures you need now for your life now. To know the will of God, to hear God's voice, you've got to know his voice. To know the will of God for your life, you need to get the word of God in your life. Reason number two that you may not be hearing God's voice is because you're running from God towards your personal sin. This stuff distances us from God, just like the Jonah story. If you're a Christian and you're truly putting your faith in Jesus, but you're struggling in repetitive sin, if you're backsliding and you're stuck in something, this can block your hearing from God. The Holy Spirit has not stopped talking to you. God has not stopped talking to you. You're just tuned out. You're saved. You'll always be saved. You're still going to heaven. But the relationship is strained, and you've strained it. And it's you that's blocking him off, not him blocking you off. He loves you. He's always there for you and always wants to talk to you. Psalm 66 says this. David had committed adultery, committed murder, but he puts it like this in Psalm 66. If I had not confessed a sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love for me. Jesus died for your sin. It just says repent. It means turning around, turn back towards God. Let God's grace work in your life. But you need to hear and listen and obey. God knows you're struggling in areas. God knows your heart. God will help you if you cry out to him. Another reason you may not be hearing God's voice is your world is so loud. This is my problem most of the time. My world is loud. And my heart isn't still. All through the Bible, God tells of those who really still their hearts to listen to him. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. And the message puts it like this. I love this. It says, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. When I read that, I think of New York. I think of traffic everywhere and people and horns making noises and sirens going, fire engines going past. Welcome to my life. Things are loud in here for me. We live in a loud world, physically and mentally. Physically, I mean by your ears, hearing noises from the outside world, people, traffic, planes, all that stuff. But mentally, I mean distractions. Today, we have phones, we have devices, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we sit on YouTube all flipping night watching movies. Just crazy things. Netflix goes on and on. These are loud mentally in your life. This world is so loud, there's so much to see and do that we don't still our hearts to what God is saying to us. Are you with me? Cool. If this is you, for you to really hear the voice of God, you need to be more intentional about getting away from all this distraction and all this loud world. I tell a story. When I was at C3 Chiefs, I used to go Wednesdays, go up on the hill between Gibby's Pass, or between Sinatuck and Gibby's Pass on a Wednesday in the morning and pray to God. I thought, oh, I'm going to go somewhere where it's quiet, because for me, I start doing something and people come in, phones ring, I get distracted. Texts go off and I can't help but look at them. So I'll not leave my phone in the car. I'm going to go up to Gibby's Pass and find a rock and sit on it, and I'm going to pray to God. So I go up to Gibby's Pass. I have a really good first day there praying and hearing from God. I think this is great. Really quiet. Go back the next day. For some unknown reason, seagulls decided that they wanted to squawk around me for the last 25, 30 minutes. I thought, oh, this is great. So the following week comes and I turn up at my little favourite spot, and while they're doing roadworks up the top, trucks go. You need to find somewhere where you don't get distracted. And in this world now, it's so hard. It's so hard. Jesus needed to do this. He just finished feeding 5,000 people. Can you imagine the noise of that? 5,000 people. I may have the band up if I could, please. In Matthew 14:22, it says, immediately after this, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. So he sends them away. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Another one is Mark 1, says 35, says, Jesus just spent a day healing people, a whole day healing people. And it says, before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. If Jesus needs to get away from noise to still his heart and talk to the Father, how much more do we need to? Find a place where you can regularly still your heart with him, away from the physical and mental noise, and pray and listen to what he has to say to you. There's a story in 1 Kings about the prophet Elijah. He had just killed 450 prophets of Baal, the other baddies, and he was now running for his life. He was afraid, he was depressed, and he was desperate for God to lift his head up and give him hope. There are people in this room today feeling the same way, desperate and needing hope. In 1 Kings 19, says, go out. This is what God said to him. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. All this noise and distraction, but no God. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. This is a place you would normally expect when God tells you to go, that you would hear his voice. But he didn't find it. Listen, and after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You won't hear God in the loud, I can tell you this. You won't hear God in the distraction, but you will hear God in the gentle whisper. Turn the sound off. Dump the noise in your car. If you want to hear God in your heart, still your heart. In his gentle whisper, there is peace. From uneasiness to peace will come in his gentle whisper. In his gentle whisper, there is life. Death will pass. You'll have life in his gentle whisper. In his gentle whisper, there's freedom. Chains will be broken. In that still time, chains will be broken and you will find freedom. In his gentle whisper, there is healing. Sickness will pass. Spend time with him. In his gentle whisper, dead things in your life are brought back to life. And in his gentle whisper, there's salvation. We all need to hear God's voice, amen? God is whispering to us this morning. He's whispering to those that are struggling and stuck in sin. He's whispering, saying, my son has broken those chains, destroyed those strongholds in your life. Just turn around and come back to me, he's saying. And he's whispering to those who don't know him. He's whispering, I love you. My son died on the cross for you so that you could have a relationship with the Father. I want you to live the life I planned for you, he's saying. A life of hope and of peace. And if you've never asked Jesus into your life this morning, he's gently whispering to you this morning and saying, come. Why don't you lift up your hands in this place if you never asked Jesus into your life? Is anyone here? He's saying, come. He's whispering, come.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.